This is the Experience Lab, the official podcast of digital scientists from Atlanta, Georgia. We're an experience lab that explores and builds digital products. My name is Rob Hall, and I'm the Senior Director of Product at DS.
And I'm Jake Osgrove, Senior Product Manager.
Thanks for listening. Well, Jay, it's Friday.
Thank God.
Any big plans for the weekend?
Nope. Going to a splash pad because I'm a parent now.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah. Should be real exciting.
My splash pad days are over.
Yep. I'm just entering mine.
Yeah. Congratulations. It's a nice place to be.
Cool. You know, not too much water, but enough.
Yeah. I'm at the place where the kids are asking if they can take the boat out for a spin.
Yikes.
It's a whole different level of splash. So today we're going to talk about MVPs. Jay, would you be so kind to explain what MVP, what does that acronym mean?
It stands for Minimal Viable Product.
Yep, Minimum Viable Product. What is that?
Well,
I need one?
The answer to that, like every other answer we give, is it depends. And I think MVP is just a really good way to test the market and test a product idea. We will often see them for new startups. That's probably the most common way that you're going to experience them, unless you're inside of a bigger org and maybe there's a new feature set that is distinct enough that you might actually call it a separate MVP.
Yeah, it absolutely depends on who you are and what your needs are.
Yep.
So very often here at Digital Scientists, we build a lot of MVPs, and we've created many of them over the years, some for large organizations, some for new startups, anything from small mobile apps to APIs that run in the background that a consumer never sees. And the definition of an MVP, I think, is somewhat variable based on who you are, what your runway is, what's your budget, what is considered risky to you.
Right.
And what is it that you're trying to test? What are you trying to learn?
Yep.
It's less about concept validation and more about really learning from real customers with a real product.
Yeah.
So we do design sprints here, right?
Yep.
And we talk a lot about design sprints as being a very fast and cost-effective means to get a concept in front of real users. Yep. I think an MVP differs because, at least from our perspective, we're actually building a real product and putting it in front of real people. And so it's about figuring out what is the concept, what is the product, what's the opportunity. And some customers come to us and they've already figured that out. They already have the opportunity. They're very clear on what the opportunity is. They just need help bringing it to market.
Yep.
So for us, it's taking that challenge and running with it as quickly and expediently as we can.
Yeah. I think the common thread through, no matter if you're, you know, a big corporate product or software, or if you're a small startup, the common thread is that you want to reduce risk. And so instead of investing a ton of money in a V1, and we'll get into, you know, a difference between a V1 and an MVP here in a little bit, you would reduce that risk, that financial risk, that time risk, by just building the minimum set of features to actually have a viable product that can be tested and learned off of. And that's going to look different depending on who you are and depending on how many customers you have and the level of professionalism or uptime that your customers are going to expect, even in an MVP experience.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think for some customers, an MVP has been really rapid prototyping.
Yeah.
If you listen to our last episode about machine learning, Jerry talked about this exercise that we walked through a number of years ago with handwriting recognition.
Yeah.
That in and of itself was an example of an MVP for that customer. Now, that didn't go to market.
Right.
So you could make an argument that that was more of a proof of concept. It was definitely an R&D exercise. Yeah. But from that particular customer's definition, it was an MVP internal to them.
Yeah.
Now, I think the more common understanding is we're trying to figure out how quickly can we get something to market and learn from it.
Right.
You can't penetrate a market without having a real product.
Yeah, that's right. And I think this might be a good time to kind of define a few terms that are used for learning. So you mentioned the design sprint. And one of the things that a design sprint produces at the end is a prototype, like a functional prototype. And that can look different, but most of the time it's, you know, it's JPEGs that are wired together with InVision or some other app, Adobe XD or something like that, that produces or simulates a live experience that you can test with users and learn off of, right? So in functional prototype might be a little bit larger. It could be somewhat in code. You know, we've done those before too, but ultimately it's kind of a dummy front end. That's how I consider it. Then the other one that you just mentioned here is having a proof of concept. And what that is like going in to build enough to prove if the idea works or not. And sometimes that line, just like you mentioned, between a proof of concept and an MVP is kind of blurred, depending on what it is. You know, I would consider that a proof of concept is more for an internal basis. Like, can we make this work? Like, will it just function? Whereas an MVP is generally going out in front of real users and probably more of a wide scale than you would have a functional prototype where you're testing, you know, somewhere from 5 to 70 users. You know, an MVP would actually be kind of the first version maybe that someone is using in some sort of alpha state. And then probably the last one would be a V1, which would be your first real production iteration of the product.
So we talk about minimizing risk a lot. What do we mean by that, really and truly, in the context of creating an MVP?
I think you just don't know what you don't know. And so you're going to have some great minds,
there are
right?
Unknown unknowns.
There's unknown unknowns. And you're going to have some great minds at the whiteboard and behind your sketch files and, you know, sitting coding. But at the end of the day, you don't really know how the user or the market is going to react. And so minimizing risk is just building enough to get the signal from the market that it's going to work or it's not going to work. And so it's the minimum set of features that's going to go out there. And if you build any more, then you're adding more risk, time, and ultimately money that you're throwing potentially out the window if the market doesn't respond how you assume it's going to respond.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It's, you know, risk, I think, in terms of investment, is highly variable,
yeah,
based on the size of the organization and your appetite for taking that risk.
Yeah.
So for a startup, $100,000 might be an incredible amount of risk.
Yeah.
That might be your whole, you know, seed round of investment.
Sure. Yeah.
But for others, $100,000 might be a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
In terms of what they're willing to invest to
might
try
drop
new
that
ideas.
On a test of a functional prototype.
Yeah, exactly. We joke about things like that being a rounding error in some organizations, even though, you know, $100,000 is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, yeah.
But so I think in terms of minimizing risk, the idea is speed.
Yeah.
It's about speed to market.
Yep.
And making sure that the product you're bringing to market is very narrow.
Yep.
And not so narrow that it's not viable as a product. That's, you know, inherent to the definition of what an MVP is. It ought to be a viable product.
Sure.
That is at least fully featured enough to be usable.
Be viable. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to have life. But the goal is to be able to have a really good feedback loop to measure not just engagement, but to say, does this product merit more investment?
Exactly. Does it complete the job to be done?
Oh.
I know. That should be a future episode. but I think that's really important is when you're going into scope an MVP, which is a very hard process to do with excited stakeholders, or it can be at times, because they generally want to cram as much in there as they can. So as a PM, you really, really, really have to dig deep to define the specific job that needs to be done. And make sure the MVP just completes that job, you know? And maybe it's more than one. It could be two, depending, two or three. But any more than two or three jobs to be done, if they're written well, to me is a red flag for an MVP.
Yeah, I agree. That brings me to my next point, good sir. Mm. What are potential pitfalls and risks of an MVP? What can go wrong when you're trying to build one?
Well, I just alluded to
it. We have some experience with this.
Yes, we do. Okay, so I'm going to back up just a second. At DS, we actually do quite a bit of MVP work, and I've done quite a bit of MVP work. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. You got to move very quickly, and it's a great thing to kind of rally the team behind. Usually our team gets very excited about it, and you'll see a lot of camaraderie come around. However, where they go wrong, in my experience, is with what I just mentioned, stakeholders from the client most often that are looking to just put too many features into the MVP.
Yes.
And one of two things is going to happen is you're not going to meet your deadline of when you want to go out, which is going to push out costs and ultimately add more risk, increase scope, right? Or you're going to add so many features that the features aren't deep enough. They're not, the individual features are an inch deep, a mile wide kind of thing. And none of them are going to do anything great. And you're going to get really poor results from that.
There's another side to risk on that point.
Yeah.
It's not just about financial risk, but there's also an aspect of technical risk involved.
Oh, for sure.
Right? So it's not uncommon that in the rush to get something to market, development team might take a lot of shortcuts.
Yes.
May not think through the tool set or the framework or just even their approach to structuring the code as thoroughly as they might otherwise. And so it's not uncommon to find yourself in this place where, yeah, we got this thing to market. We got it done very quickly, but it's a mess.
Yeah.
And so to continue scaling it over time actually becomes a very difficult exercise.
Yeah.
And the dev team has to build in time to go back and refactor a bunch of mistakes or messy decisions.
Or scrap it entirely and refactor it,
which no one wants to do. And honestly, is I would argue, is counter to the whole idea of an MVP. Is you're trying to plant a seed in the market that can grow.
Sure.
And so I think that's why that scope discipline is so important, so that your design and development team can do really great work in a highly constrained amount of time, but that it's done thoughtfully and carefully in such a way that if additional investment is given, it can continue to grow and flourish without having to be stuck in the, well, we've built a throwaway.
Yeah.
Cool, it worked out, but now we need to invest even more money to redo all these mistakes that we made along the way.
And I think that's something that you just have to set up front, because honestly, for me, I'm okay with that understanding. Hey, in 3 months, I want something in market, and you know, I only have X amount of budget. Then you just have to set that expectation up front of like, okay, we'll get it to market. But once it's to market, we have to go back and refactor and add a lot of stuff in. And that's actually been another risk that we've had, is someone not understanding that. And so you have those two sides, right? Like speed in features that you're going to get in, or quality in features, but not speed. You know, you can only have two of those three, is like quality, speed, and price. They're all going to pull against
each other. Yeah, that's that old salesman adage. You can have it good, fast, or cheap.
Exactly.
You get to pick two.
Exactly. And it's very true here. And so I don't know that I've done a great job in my full career. Certainly in the last few, I've, you know, been better at spotting this, but if just communicating that up front is like, okay, if you want to go really, really fast, really fast, we can do it, we're happy to do it, but you're going to have to stop once this is proved and spend a lot of money rebuilding the features we already built to make them more of a foundation for what your, you know, your V1 to 1.5 is going to look like.
So here's the big advantage of building an MVP and doing it in a very crisp, disciplined manner, much like what we do here at DS, is getting to market and not just to get something to market, but to beat your competitors to market.
Yep.
And to me, that is the whole point, rapid delivery.
Yep.
And then rapid iteration. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important thing that a lot of people don't realize when they think they're ready to make an investment in software. Just getting it to market is the beginning of the journey, not the end.
Oh yeah.
And so there's a big preparation that product owners really need to consider, is it's not just the initial investment, it's the continued investment past that initial release. We've worked with a number of great clients in the past, some of which they get to that first release and they stop.
Yeah.
And we want to see it keep going.
Always.
We want to help them measure. We want to help them learn. We want to help them continue to build upon the foundation that we helped them start.
I just think when you get to that point, you have to prepare your stakeholders early on, whether that's clients or internal, that there's going, almost always, there's going to be need for time to refactor. And after a very quick MVP is going to be painful to some of them because they're going to say, hey, in 3 months, you built this whole thing. Why is it taking 3 months to just clean up code? But the thing is if you want your application to scale, you got to do it well.
But here's another point too. If you take too much time to get that initial release to market, and once it gets to market, you learn that there's some aspect to the application that you need to pivot on and pivot rapidly.
Sure.
Due to customer feedback, market forces, whatever, it may be too late to do that.
It's true.
And so the sooner you get to market, the tighter you get, then the faster the feedback loop that gives your team a faster ability to respond and react and get out in front.
Sure. Yeah, and you're just going to have to make that decision when it comes. I mean, it's very, very hard to tell. I just know that we've had experience with successful MVPs where they haven't invested the time to ever go back and clean up, refactor, make it scalable. And then 2 years down the road, any small change is a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
And to the point where when they call us back to help us fix something a year later, we cringe a little bit when we see their email come in because we know that the time was not spent or budget was not allocated to actually clean it up.
Sure. And that speaks again to the need for scope discipline.
Exactly.
In any MVP. And honestly, for us and in our process, the tighter the scope, the higher the quality.
Absolutely.
So that's the lesson, kids.
Absolutely.
So, we do MVPs here at Digital Scientists. How do we structure them here, Jay?
It's a great question. So we have actually a fairly like rigid MVP process, and it's what keeps us quick and delivering kind of in the time boxes that we've laid out for the client, but it also keeps the client scope down because we say, this is the process, this is the period of time that you've got, and anything that falls outside of that just has to be pushed to a future iteration. One of the tools we use to kind of help keep the scope down is our process. So in general, it follows pretty much any other kind of typical waterfall, agile, scrum fall, whatever you want to call it, process where you start with a little bit of research, usually 2 to 4 weeks, depending on the time that the client has or where they are in their research process. I would probably say another 2 to 4 weeks in design, and then you're usually right around 2 months in development to actually build out the features, and then you're ready to test.
Yeah, we used to say your idea from concept to market in 90 days.
It's crazy.
It is.
We did it, though.
We did do it. And it is possible.
It's
But again, it is all about scope discipline.
Yep.
Yeah. So there certainly the instances where we've built an MVP and it didn't make it to market in 90 days.
Sure.
Was due to scope creep.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely not going to admit on this podcast that we've failed to do that. No, of course.
But I will say we delivered on way more than I expected we ever would.
Oh, without a doubt. And even, you know, within clients that give us a longer runway, we still try to break things typically into 90-day chunks.
Yeah.
Because it's a good release cadence.
And again, it's healthy for the scope of any MVP, really, is like get it out in 90 days or maybe a little bit more. So, you know, say it's 4 months instead of 3 months. But anything after that is like too much, in my opinion.
Totally. I worked with a client once upon a time. Some years ago, they had a pretty sophisticated search engine on their site, and it was built using antiquated code. I think it was built in Cold Fusion. Yeah,
it I feel was, like just mentioning that word dates you.
Yeah, exactly. The fact that I know what Cold Fusion is bad. but so they had this search engine, and they needed to refactor it. It was, again, very old, it was cumbersome, it was slow, it was very hard for their team to work on. Instead of taking this approach that they were going to create a clean foundation, ship it, and then continue to iterate to rapidly get back up to feature parity with what they had. They said, no, we have to ship with total feature parity with this antiquated system that they're replacing. Hmm. Well, 18 months into development, they still didn't have anything in market. Yep. And they ended up, I think they spent something like $5 million in development. They ended up canceling the entire project.
My goodness.
Losing that entire investment. I think they ended up laying off most of the team and they went back to the drawing board.
Yep.
Now, we could get into this whole conversation of, well, they utilized Waterfall versus an agile approach, sure, or whatever. But you hear the same stories with undisciplined agile teams that have the same struggle.
Yeah, absolutely.
So at the end of the day, are you shipping product, getting it in front of the customer, and rapidly iterating? That's everything.
Yeah. I've heard so many horror stories of the exact scenario you just laid out of, we have to be at feature parity. We're working on this thing in parallel. 18 months later, the project gets canned. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. If you have an idea that you want to get to market as quickly as possible and you'd like to lean on our expertise to help do it, give us a call. We'd love to help.
May not be 90 days, though.
Or it might.
Or it might.
It could be less than 90 days.
Yeah. Roll the dice. We'll see.
Well, let's not gamble on people's odds of success. Thank you for listening to the Experience Lab from Digital Scientists. To learn more about our team and the great work we do, or even hire us, visit our website at digitalscientists.com.